every tribe, the sound of every tongue. When the bride of Christ on that day of days brings with joy unto the Lamb a multitude of praise. Like a roar of mighty seas, rolls of thunder, hear his people sing. Hallelujah! Rejoicing all the wonders God has done. Like the roar of mighty seas, rolls of thunder, all the church will sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord Almighty reigns. Oh, that more would share the prize, salvation in his name. The greater will the anthem ring, the mighty chorus rising to the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord.
When we are
glory revealed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we
announcements here. First off, we'll be having this Sunday dinner following the morning service. Tonight, there'll be games and ice cream during the evening service at 6 p.m. October 2nd, we'll be continuing our Awanas and youth meeting at 6 p.m. and then meal served from 5 to 5:45. October 6th, we'll be continuing our Jonah Bible study during the evening service. And then October 9th, the youth will be going to Build the Faith in Green Forest. It starts at 6:30. They just told us they're going to feed all the kids and everyone going this year starting at 5:45. So the time we leave might change. We have to make our plan. They just let us know all that like yesterday.
Choir kicks off next Sunday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you want to get an introduction to our church, our Christmas music that we'll be singing, come at 5 o'clock next Sunday. Thank you.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray for all the families and those who are affected by the hurricane right now, God, and the flooding. God, I pray you just be with those and the workers that are helping with that, God. God, I pray for Brother Wade and the message he's going to bring this morning. God, I pray you just be with him and give us ears to hear, God. God, I pray just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's greet one another this morning.
The dark tried to hide you and steal you away. Death tried to keep you inside of the grave. The enemy fought you, he tried but he lost.
You cannot be stopped. When we cried for freedom, you tore down the walls. The weight of our burden, you carried it all. Our fears and our failures hang dead on the cross. You cannot be stopped. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. We stand on your victory, and we shout out your praise. Miracle maker, you're mighty to save. Awesome in power, relentless in love. You cannot be stopped. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is
when you don't move the mountains, I need.
Rose, could you find the words to the next song? I want to skip this song coming up and go to Sheltered in the Arms. I don't know what slide number it is. Sheltered in the Arms of God. Can you skip forward to that one? There we go. Thank you. Take this opportunity to thank those of you who attended my father-in-law's funeral. The Osage was well represented yesterday, and thank you for all the encouragement and comfort that you've given the Cooper family in the last week that they've been dealing with his passing. So I appreciate you guys.
Would bow with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for all the blessings in life and things that you give and do for us. We just pray that you'd bless this offering as we take it up to further your kingdom, dear God, and that we would use it in a way that would be pleasing to you. We just pray that you'd be Brother Wade as he brings a message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children's Church.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't know about y'all, but I think Matt keeps singing shorter or faster songs because he's done just about the time I'm done shaking hands now, and it used to be a lot longer. I think he's... Well, good morning. I do. I am glad to be back. I did enjoy my time gone, and I appreciate everybody praying for me as I was gone, and had a good time, and I had a few firsts. I really wanted to stay a couple more days because I've never seen a hurricane, and I wanted to stay for it because it was supposed to still be at least a Category 1 when it hit Phoenix City, but I left early instead, and I'm being completely serious on that. If it wasn't for the flooding, I would have stayed because has anybody ever seen a hurricane? I got one. See, that would have put me in Elite 2. That would have put me in an elite spot here to be one of three people that's seen a hurricane. So I would have loved to have stayed and seen it, but anyway, I thought it'd be more responsible to leave. But caught my first deep sea fish, was on the ocean for the first time, and I saw my first wild alligator. So and then I saw another one, and even though they was behind a chain link fence, they were wild. So you know, anyway. So anyway, I had a good time, and I appreciate that. But you know, for this joke this morning, I was given blood the other day, and I was there, and while I was there, in walked in a pastor, a priest, and a rabbit. And the rabbit said, "Hey, I must be a typo," but so. And, pretty common type of blood, but so. All right. I didn't even get a drum roll or nothing. So, that sounded like it fell flat. I don't know. Anyway, well, we do have food after the service today. There's food back there. So if you didn't bring anything, feel free to stay. And if you did bring anything, then feel free to stay as well. Max reminded me that we had food this morning, so he said I was able to preach at least 15 to 20 minutes longer. He said because people aren't normally, you know, getting to eat until 11:30 anyway, so it all, isn't that what, he said something like that. But anyway, we are going to talk about something this morning, and I'll just go ahead and jump on into it, but I'm going to ask you a question. And don't answer this out loud, but I'm going to ask you a question. Whenever I talk about Daniel and Daniel's three friends that was taken with him that we know in the Bible, what were their names? Again, don't answer out loud, because I don't want you to tell anybody. But it's a quiz. You didn't know you were going to have a quiz. You're just not getting graded on it. So, you know, most of us, we're familiar with the story of Daniel, and whenever we think about it, you know, we think about it, this, and hopefully maybe this morning we're looking at it a little bit different than what we've looked at it before, but we're familiar with what goes on with Daniel, and we're even familiar with, I'll just say, the fiery furnace at this point, and we're going to look at it a little bit different maybe. So, you know, there's a lot of accounts in history, Bible, where I would rather not relate to them. You know, a lot of the stories in the Bible are relatable, but you go thinking about all the things that happen in the Bible that you really wouldn't want to be there. I mean, we look at them and we're like, man, that was pretty awesome, and look at what those people did. And I mean, Moses parting the Red Sea, that would have been exciting, right? Except for the moment before the Red Sea parted and you had all the Egyptians coming to kill you. I mean, not many of us would say, hey, Lord, will you back me up to the sea and have the giant, you know, the biggest army in the world coming to kill me and annihilate all of us? You know, that would be really awesome. Can you put me there? We're not going to say that. Well, most of us don't want to be there. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that we don't want to relate to. We don't want to be in those situations, but maybe we'll find ourselves in a similar situation someday, and how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to react? How are we going to stand, if you will? And I think that, you know, in all the different accounts that you have in Old Testament, New Testament, you know, I think probably those folks didn't want to be in those situations either. They probably weren't, you know, excited. I think when Moses went and led the children of Israel out of Egypt, if he would have said, hey, you know, Pharaoh's going to change his mind and come chasing us to come kill you. And, hey, you're probably going to be hungry for a while and you're going to wander around the desert for a bit. They may have not followed. They may have not been as excited to go. But what makes, I think, people great whenever we read about what they did and what was accomplished during their time and during their situations, it wasn't that they went looking for these situations. It wasn't that they went looking for these things to happen. It was that they stood in the face of these things happening to them or around them. And they faced the situations they found themselves in. And you take Daniel and these others, and, you know, they didn't choose to wind up in the situation they were in. They were captured, they were kidnapped, and they were drug off to a foreign land. That wasn't, you know, all the great things that happened in Daniel's life and in the book of Daniel, that wasn't because they said, hey, Babylon, come take us over there and enslave us for a while. So we're going to start in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 21, and I'm going to try to read a little fast because I know I got a lot of scripture this morning. But if you go ahead and stand with me this morning as we read. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and along with some of the articles from the temple of God, these he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. And then the king ordered Aphanaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. A young man without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians, and the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. And among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And now God caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? And the king would then have my head because of you." And Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance with that of young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days, and at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. And these four young men God gave knowledge and understanding and all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kind. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about the king, questioned them, he found 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom, and Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Y'all, join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for being able to come to your house and worship you, and Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word, Lord, that we may draw from it some encouragement and guidance as we go from this place. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I didn't seem quite as long whenever I was thinking what I was going to read there, but I felt it was to give the whole context there that we read it. So, you know, many of us, I think, today, when we look at the landscape and the culture, if we're over 10 years old, probably, we might feel like we live in a foreign land of what we once did. You look at what's going on in our culture, you look at what's going on around us, you watch the news, and it doesn't seem like the place we grew up in. It's completely changing or changed. These young men found themselves in a foreign land. The country they lived in wasn't the one they grew up in. You know, but unlike them, unlike these four, we do, I'll throw in, have a chance to keep our freedom. We have a chance to think about where our country is going and have an influence on it more so than they did. But we see that, and I say that to say, we see that they're going to influence their country when they're in a worse shape of being able to give influence from their position than we are. And they done this by doing a few things, and I want to point out those things, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. The first thing, when we find ourselves not sure about our situation, when we find ourselves in a spot or a culture or whatever that's just not the way we want it to be, I think we need to guide. We need to go through these steps, if you will. The first thing that they did is they remembered the truth. They remembered what they'd been taught. They remembered the truth of what they were raised up in. And I'll ask you now, how many of y'all, whenever I asked you what their names were, how many of y'all said Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? And how many of you said Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego? Right? I'd say most of us said Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego. When we talk about Daniel, not many of us say Belshazzar, but it's the same difference. But you see, they're in the same, and I say that because are they the same? Are those names the same? Is there any importance to those names being different? You see, I think that improper names are important. I think saying the right things are important. But as we'll see in a moment, those are their Babylonian names. We don't remember their Israelite names as well as remember their Babylonian names, but, you know, I guarantee you they did. And just because the culture may call you something different, it doesn't change who you are. And even though they were given different names to be called by, it didn't change who they were. They were still born, and they still knew themselves. And I bet they referred to themselves in private still with their given names. But I think names are important, and we shouldn't just go be changing things, you know. And it's important that we call things by what they are and their proper things. And I seen something the other day, or some time ago, and this guy got up, and I believe it was in Indianapolis. He went to the city council meeting in Indianapolis, and he said, you know, definitions and names are important, and we should be teaching our children that what things are, and we shouldn't be calling them something different. He said, and that's why I propose to you that we outlaw the term boneless chicken wings, because they're just chicken tenders. And everybody's making fun of this guy. And it is kind of funny, right? I mean, it's kind of funny. And I got thinking, I agree with him. Because they're not boneless chicken wings, they are chicken tenders, right? So when we go out, and the boys, they'll order boneless chicken wings, and they get a chicken tender like this big, I'll look at the waitress and say, how big was that chicken? I throw that in because do chickens get that big for that to be a boneless chicken wing? It's important that we name things. Now, that may not be biblical importance, but I think that it's important that we don't give in to the wrong names for things. What I do think is of biblical importance, if you will, is things like you take tolerance. And I remember years ago, you take the word tolerance. And what does tolerance mean? You know, if you ever build something, you're going to have a definition of tolerance to say, well, the tolerance is how far it can be off of the right, you know, the correct measure. There's a tolerance if it can be a little shorter, a little bit longer, so that it still works. It still fits. That board still fits. That piece of pipe still fits. It still makes the thing work. But when it's out of tolerance, it's no longer usable, no longer viable. You know, so whenever I think about it, you know, I think it's what, like I say, what's outside the absolute truth of the measurement. That's what's tolerated. That's tolerance. I looked up what Webster Dictionary said, and I keep an eye on this just for my own curiosities, but today it still says sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. So the, you know, like I say, the or it also says the allowable deviation from a standard. Now, a few years ago, Chess was in a spelling bee, and he got awarded a dictionary that was given to him by a bunch of different groups, and it was called a student's dictionary. And I'd like to compare those things sometimes because it's a new version, right? It was up and new version. So I looked up the same word, and in that student's dictionary, this is what was given as a definition. Tolerance, compassion, and open-mindedness. And then the word tolerant also is to be broad-minded, liberal, and accepting. Different definition, right? It makes me, when I go out to the digital dictionary that I always use now, makes me want to go make sure I have some solid paperback books, because those definitions change on us and we don't know it. And those things in our culture, we change the names of things and we don't pay attention, and it takes us away from the truth. You see, and these young men, if they had given over to their Babylonian names, it would have fundamentally changed them without them really knowing that they were being changed. And when we don't hold to an absolute truth, in fact, we start getting our minds changed about things that don't need to be changed, and it leads us to places like the Methodist Church. And I don't usually call out a church, but I usually don't criticize other denominations, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look at their website. You know, they have become accepting of LGBTQ+AI, whatever all the numbers are, and they have transgender preachers. That's where you go when you don't hold to a truth. We need a standard that we don't deviate from. We have a true tolerance that we can't allow to go too far. We need to be careful in our digital world that they don't change things on us and us not know it. We need to be more careful in our spiritual world that we don't allow things to be altered and us not realize it. And we only know it if we know the truth, if we focus on the truth, if we study the truth. If we're not studying our Bible, we'll agree to anything potentially. Another thing that needs to be pointed out there is we may be using the same words, but we don't have the same meaning. When we're speaking to people, you know, if you're debating someone or discussing to someone something, you need to define your terms when you start. Because we can have the same words and not have the same meaning. And it doesn't have to be someone that's learned English as a second, third, or fourth language. It can be someone who was raised up with us. So how many words don't mean what they say they mean? I'll just throw one more at you, and then I'll move on to my next point. A very one that we see today, and we see this in politics a lot, but pro-choice, you know, it's really pro-abortion, but it sounds different, right? And you look at the definition of what people are saying and what they're doing, and you need to be aware of what the words actually mean and what they sound of. Well, the second point that I'd like to make is we must not become a Babylonian. You see, if they would have given over to their names, they would have become a Babylonian. They would have completely been engulfed in the culture. Now, I'm using this metaphorically because, you know, we here today are all Americans, right? But we can't give in to what it is today of an American for what it was to be a Christian of yesteryear. We can't become of the culture. We have to know where we are founded in. So they couldn't be given over to being a Babylonian. They stayed Israelites. So they took them, like I said, they changed their environment, they changed their language, they got into the education and they were educated. They changed their diet or tried to change their diet. And they didn't go so far as to break their laws. And they changed their names. And they changed all these things about them, where they didn't become Babylonians. We might know we may be educated by this world. We may be educated in the things that's going on. We may know about them. We may live in them. We may dress like them. We may all these things, but we can't become non-Christians, if you will. You know, in Russia under Stalin, there was always this thing that I just remember, and they used to say, the future is known, it's the past that keeps changing. Y'all ever heard that? You know, they were sure about the future because they kept telling them, here's what the future holds, but the past kept changing on them. They kept changing their history. You know, for us as believers, we need to know where our future is based biblically, and we also need to know the past based biblically and not allow it to be changed. But Daniel, not Belshazzar, he's remembered because the truth, he followed the truth, he remembered the truth, and he didn't follow the advice of the experts, as you see here, because they told him, hey, you need to eat all these foods. This is what's going to make you healthy. Right? These are the people that know. But he said, no. Give me 10 days, right? Give me 10 days. I'm going to follow what God has laid out, and I'm going to be better for it. And he was able to influence them because he had the courage to stand. So he followed, like I say, the truth. He didn't allow the culture or the change to control his behavior. You know, we've got to remember that we're in this world, but we're not to be of this world. I think we need to know the line that we won't cross before it comes time to cross that line. Y'all ever been in that situation where you crossed the line that you didn't want to cross, but you didn't realize you'd crossed it and that you didn't want to until after the fact? I've been there. I've done that. I put my name on that dotted line whenever I regretted it ever since. Even if it wasn't a big deal, it was a big deal to me. You know, we got to know where our line is before we get to the situation. We got to know where we're going to stand before we come face to face, because as it slowly happens, it's easier to be influenced. The third thing I want to point out is the one you worship will determine your future. So depending on who we worship, it will determine our path. See, the king, he was the most powerful man in the world. And I think I skipped over some verses here. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to them. All right, so the king was the most powerful man in the world at the time, and he made this golden image. And he decreed that everyone bow down whenever they blow all the music. You know, everybody bow down and worship it on his command. And his command was when that happened. And see, these three others, they didn't bow. And we're going to read there Daniel 3:13-18. It says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So then they bound them and they threw him into the fire. After they got the fire seven times hotter, they got it so hot that those that threw him in died because they couldn't withstand the heat. And then the king was amazed because he looked into the fire and he said, "Didn't we throw three guys in there? But why do I see four walking around?" You see, God delivered them. This is what theologians will say is a pre-incarnate Christ, that Christ come and was in the fire with them. And they were delivered as they walked around in the fire. Christ was there delivering them from it. And when they pulled them out, they didn't have a singe or even the smell of smoke, because they had been delivered from the fire. You know, I take that God can deliver us from whatever punishment could be headed our way from, in this case, the government, right? Because the king was the government. It doesn't matter who it is, God can deliver you. And I say the king because he was the most powerful king of the time. There was no earthly power greater than the king. And God delivered them. And I think more important, though, was what they said. That even if God doesn't choose to deliver us, we'll be delivered ultimately. Right? Because even if we face something and God doesn't deliver us earthly, we have to have the faith that He's going to deliver us spiritually. We know that, hey, you may destroy the body, but you can't destroy the soul. Right? We are to fear the one that can destroy the soul, not the body, not earthly fears. We should have supernatural fears, heavenly fears, if you will. You know, I think about the apostles, and they were delivered sometimes on earthly occasions. They were delivered. Sometimes they were delivered several times. But ultimately, they all but John were martyred and killed. He may deliver us today and not choose to deliver us tomorrow. But even when He doesn't choose to deliver us earthly, He's going to deliver us eternally. You know, I see this, and as I read this, these are not boys. These are men as they've gotten older, and they're in prominent positions. And as I used to read this as I was younger, I thought they were younger. As I read this now, I don't think they were younger. I think they were men who had positions and titles and wealth. I won't get into why I think that today, but I think they had earthly things to give up. I think a lot of times we will look at our positions and our properties and our wealth and our titles and the things we have, and sometimes we don't want to lose those things that we feel like we've earned in this life because we just don't want to give that up. We'll do things that we wouldn't normally do sometimes because of those. But you know, we give our tithes and we give our offerings, and we don't do it just because the church needs to pay the light bill, right? What's the reason we're supposed to give our tithe the first? It's because we recognize that it all comes from God. We recognize that everything that we have materially, everything that we have influence-wise, our tithe, all that was given to us by the Lord to be used for His kingdom. These men weren't afraid to give it all, even their lives. And they said, regardless of what you choose to do to us, we're putting it on the line. They stood literally for what they believed in because they were told to kneel, and they said, we won't kneel for anybody but God. You know, I think it's easy to read the Scripture, and we see the times here of courage that people have and the many things that they do, and we say, man, that was really brave. If I was in that situation, we might be so naive to say, if I was in that situation, I'd do the exact same thing. But when we're in that situation, sometimes we're not even wise enough to know what happened. We need to be praying for the wisdom to know not only that we would stand, because I think a lot of people would stand if they knew they were in a situation they should stand. Amen? But sometimes we don't even know we should have stood until after the situation has passed. We need to pray for the wisdom to see the situation's coming and then to have the courage to stand. I think if they hadn't stood when they stood, they wouldn't have had an outcome when that they had. If they
made a stand previous, they wouldn't have had the same outcome. If they waited, they wouldn't have had the same outcome. Did I lose my sound? I got that sound. You know, let's look at Daniel 3:29. It'll be my last scripture this morning. It says, "Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be burned into piles of rubble, for no other gods can save in this way." That was the king's decree after what he had witnessed and after their witness to him by taking the stand against him. That was his decree. You know, I do hope that we know when to kneel and we know when to stand this morning. The last thing I want to point out here this morning is that, you know, maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. I see that in this story as well, because when you look at this account this morning, you see that these men were delivered from the fire. They were delivered from the thing that was going to happen to them here on earth, the destruction, the death that they were going to have. But, you know, Jesus was in the fire with them, walking with them. And they were delivered from an earthly fire, but Christ would deliver us from an eternal fire. From the supernatural one, if you will. You know, we have fires that happen to us today, metaphorically speaking. Trials, things, storms, whatever we want to call them of life, troubles. You know, He'll deliver us from those troubles. I'm not deliver us from necessarily. He didn't deliver these guys from the fire. He delivered them through the fire. And when we face things, when we face it with Christ, we're not facing it alone. We're still facing the situation, but He's seeing us through it. And as I said, when they got through it, they didn't have any smoke on their clothes. They didn't have a hair singed. You know, we may all have different experiences when we're going through it. We may lose a little face sometimes and get a singe or a smoke, but He'll see us through whatever we're going through. And if you haven't accepted Him as your personal Savior, you may be struggling with earthly things that you shouldn't have to struggle with. But more importantly, He'll deliver you from the destruction of the eternal fires. You know, He come because of our sin. He come and died on the cross to deliver us from that eternal damnation, that eternal fire. The Bible says that if we profess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And I believe that. And if you're here this morning and you can't say you've done that, I'm going to ask you to come as we sing a hymn invitation. I'm going to ask you to come and we'll pray about it. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "I've given my life to the Lord, but I am going through some earthly fires," and you want to pray about that, I ask you to come up and we'll pray about that as well. What are we singing?
320.
320, if everybody stand.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There
in the